On today's show, Giannis has officially played more games for the Milwaukee Bucks than any other player. We need to celebrate that fact. We've got more Brook Lopez love to come. He had a great story with The Athletic last night. We're going to break that down. We have to spend some time thanking the Chicago Bulls for their services tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers. And then a question for Camille. Have the Bucks been screwed by the schedule?
Backs him down. Giannis into the lane. Giannis spinning. Fading shot. Up. Good for Giannis at the buzzer. Bucks win it.
Locked on Bucks. My name's Kane Pittman. You can see and hear me on the show Monday to Friday and also find my work over at ESPN. Joining us as she does weekly, at least once a week, from the Technical Foul Podcast. When she's not doing Locked on Bucks, she's doing the Tech Foul Podcast. You should check that out as well. They talk all things sports, wrestling, whatever you want to get to, they'll have it covered on that podcast. It's Camille Davis. As always, we thank you for making Locked on Bucks your first watch or first listen of every single day. We appreciate it. We appreciate the feedback. And thankfully for us, Camille, it was a little bit more positive in the YouTube comments last night than it was a few days earlier when the Bucks lost a game of basketball. How embarrassing was that to the Indiana Pacers? But they bounced back yesterday and everyone was in a far better mood. So if you haven't done so yet, please subscribe, drop a like, drop a comment, a review, all those types of things wherever you're listening to us, whether it's on YouTube or the audio platform, because it is free to do. And it actually really, really helps us. And everyone's been doing it lately. I used to not want to dive in, Camille, and tell people to subscribe. I'm like, I'm not doing that. These people are going to do what they want. But I've changed my approach. I'm demanding subscriptions. Ooh. Camille. What do you think? Ooh. What do you think about this new approach? And I know that I am a very intimidating figure.
Hey, I mean, some people might like the moxie and be like, you know what? I am going to do it just because Kane demanded that I do so.
Like, who is this angry Australian? I still get that from time to time when we do have new listeners. They're like, what the hell is an Australian hosting this podcast for? Well, I've been here for years, and I'm not going anywhere. So you're going to have to stick with me for the rest of this season. I mentioned it right off the top. Let's just get straight to it and thank our friends from the Chicago Bulls for getting the job done tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers. I didn't see any of this game, but it went to double overtime and the Bulls win at 109 to 105. And you ask yourself, what does that mean for the standings? It means the Bucks now with a 3-game lead in the loss column over the Celtics and over the 76ers. The Celtics only have 9 games to play. Is that right? 10 games to play. So the Celtics have 10 to play. The Sixers have 11 to play. And the Bucks have 11 to play themselves. So with 11 games to go, they've got a 3-game lead in the loss column. We're going to get into more schedule stuff later. But long live the Chicago Bulls, Camille. This is a really, really good service they've done to us here in Bucks land.
It's not often here in Bucks land where it's like, hey, Chicago Bulls, thank you. Like, we appreciate you, Chicago Bulls. But no, I mean, this race for the one seed in the East is getting tight. And for as much as Boston has been slumping over the last 10, 15 games, Philly, on the other hand, has been hot. So for the Bulls to knock them off in double overtime, which sounds like it might have actually been a pretty exciting game. Yeah. I might have to go back on League Pass and check that one out. Not expected. Like, when I saw this was the matchup tonight, I was like, oh, Philly's probably going to win. So thank you, Chicago. Thank you so much. You don't know how much you've helped us out tonight.
They play again in a couple of days' time, so it will be fascinating there, and we'd like to see the Bulls hopefully get the job done as well. And as you mentioned, the Celtics have been skidding just a little bit. I'm just taking a quick look at the box score here, and James Harden with a 5-point, 2-for-14 outing, which is that's a tough one. There's no doubt about that. So that is important for the Bucks. All right, let's talk about Giannis, Camille. He put this tweet up. Now, this is what we love about Giannis. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see it. And he says, this guy has played the most Bucks games ever. Thank you, God. I'm blessed. And I feel kind of bad that I didn't pick up on this yesterday when Giannis tweeted it. It was the first time it was brought to my attention. We spoke about it a few weeks ago that he was getting very, very close. Mm-hmm. But as I pull up the game's leaders on Basketball Reference. Giannis now at 7-12 regular season games, of course. Junior Bridgman, he had passed, who obviously had had that record for a very, very long time. Then Sidney Moncrief and Chris Middleton, really on track. When he returns to the Milwaukee Bucks next year, he's on track to hopefully jump into second there as well. So two legends of the franchise, but just specifically for Giannis, it is a crazy thing. I mean, I've watched this team for a couple of decades now. I know you even longer being from the area, Camille, but it is crazy to think with all the history and the great teams this franchise had in the 70s and 80s that no one has played more games than Giannis. It's kind of just wild to think about.
Yeah, Giannis really does mark like a new era of Bucks basketball. It's a different era. So like I think of my own fandom, like I'm a 90s kid. So I grew up watching Michael Jordan. Like I love Jordan. I wasn't a Bulls fan, but I was a Michael Jordan fan. And when Jordan retired, it was kind of like, okay, what are we going to do? Luckily the Bucks had drafted Ray Allen and I was like, okay, I can get behind this. And I recall even when they had their playoff run to the Eastern Conference Finals with, you know, Ray and Sam and Big Dog and the whole squad, like I was at a school dance and we're at the school dance around the TV screen watching the Bucks game because it's like we're in the play, like we can really go far this year. It didn't pan out. And then as everyone knows, we had some years of aggressively mediocre play, I would say. We had some shining stars in there, of course. It was fun watching Brandon Jennings. It was fun watching Michael Redd. I was a Carlos Delfino fan. Like it was a time to latch on to maybe some more obscure NBA players that might have come along. But Giannis gets drafted in 2013, and you don't know what to expect. You know, the first year he's here, you're thinking like he might be sent overseas, and he might be a development prospect. And lo and behold, it's a kid who came over here and stole the hearts of Milwaukee with his story, with his effort, with his grind. And ahead of yesterday's game on Bally Sports, they had just a graphic come up with everything that he leaves the franchise. And I had to take a picture of it because I was just like, if you would have told me 10 years ago when we drafted him, like this kid would become the Bucks all-time leader in games played, that he would lead the Bucks in points, total assists, blocks, triple doubles, free throws made, and minutes. Like in 10 years of playing time, like this guy is going to smash all of your franchise record. I would have been like, are you sure? Are you sure it's this kid? It's not like Jabari Parker. It's not the more exalted draft pick we're going to be getting. And it's like, no, it's that kid from Greece who's really going to put that work in. So it's been an honor truly to watch Giannis play, to watch him grow, and just become the player that he is. Watch the man that he has, you know, grown into being off the court as well. And just how much he loves the city of Milwaukee, because the city of Milwaukee loves Giannis back just as hard, for sure.
So, and part of it, when you're talking about greats of your franchise, is longevity as well. And that's why he's getting to these marks, and he's going to continue to get to these marks now. Obviously, in my opinion now, some people have said he's going to get that second title, but I've seen enough. This is the greatest Bucks player. He's past Kareem. I don't care what anyone says. But you mentioned some of the stuff. So he's chasing rebounds, total rebounds, that is. He's about 300 behind Kareem, so that's going to happen pretty quickly. Steals, he's currently fourth. He's about 230-odd behind Quinn Buckner, who is the all-time steals leader. He's already got the blocks. He's already got the points. He's already got the assists as well. So yeah, when it's all said and done, and probably going to happen pretty soon, he's going to be leading obviously the games with the points, the rebounds, the assists, the steals, the blocks, and the rebounds as well. So just crazy, crazy stuff. And, you know, I just would like to imagine what I would have said if someone said that on draft night. Hey, by 2023, he's still going to be playing for the team and literally smash every single franchise record in the history of this team that's been around for 50 plus years. I probably would have laughed, but I would have been excited while I was laughing though. So, Giannis, we just wanted to mention that and spend the first segment of this podcast talking about him and how great he is, because let's face it, it makes this show enjoyable. It makes watching the Bucks certainly a lot more enjoyable than it was back in the day. Sometimes I sit back and think, imagine if I was doing Locked On Bucks between like 2011 and 2013, there would have been some interesting shows, but there would have been some rough shows as well. We want to talk about Brook Lopez a little bit more. There was a great story on The Athletic last night. But when we come back, I'm going to be asking you whether the Bucks have been screwed by the NBA schedule. And you laughed when I first told you this, so I'm not sure what angle you think I'm coming from. But first, let's talk about our friends from FanDuel. The tournament is heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back. If your first bet doesn't win, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers to threes drained. And I've got the MVP odds up here right now. Joel Embiid at minus 190. Losing to the Bulls won't help. Nikola Jokic plus 300. Giannis plus 440. They got some big games on the schedule on the road home, the Bucks, so that might help. As far as defensive player of the year, Brook Lopez, the favorite, minus 160. Jaren Jackson Jr. is there, plus 150. Then Bam. Then Giannis, he's at plus 3,000 as well. It doesn't look like Giannis is going to win defensive player of the year, but you never know. If you're interested in those odds, you can go to FanDuel Sportsbook. Don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. So I mentioned already the Bucks have 11 games left on the schedule. They're 51-20 on the season. A three-game gap in the loss column over the Celtics and Sixers. We know they have to play both of those two teams. But I saw a little bit of chatter on the Twitter machine, and I thought, you know, this is kind of interesting stuff. So the Bucks play the Spurs on Wednesday night. But then they have just got this gauntlet of a schedule, which the teams, there are some winnable games there, no doubt. But five games in 7 nights in five different cities at the end of March. So they have to go to Utah, and then on a back-to-back, they go to Denver. And as Frank mentioned on last night's podcast, both games at altitude on a back-to-back against Western Conference teams is just bizarre. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, shout out to the NBA for giving them one night off before flying them out to Detroit. So now they're back in the Central Division again, and they play in Detroit. They get one night off, and then they have to play at Indiana. And then they are rewarded on the back end of this by coming home and facing the Boston Celtics. So we've seen the Bucks have weird stuff. Like now they've got a home stretch where they're just at home and play three games in 10 days or whatever it is. And then they get five games in 7 days in five different cities. It doesn't make sense at the back end of the season that this is what the Bucks have to deal with. And they're going to have to be careful and manage. And that's why maybe the Sixers losing tonight is pretty helpful. But geez, you want to win that game against the Boston Celtics. It really means something. And we talk about schedule losses, but that is the schedule loss of all schedule losses.
Yeah, having to see the Celtics on the back-to-back after that gauntlet, like that's definitely a tough schedule. And hearing you read it off too, it's just, listen, the Bucks are going to really have to lean on that depth that they have to get through this. And it made me just kind of take a look too at Philly and Boston schedule. So I'm like, if this is just a Milwaukee thing that we're having all of these games scheduled this close together, I'm going to have a problem. So looking at Boston, they had a back-to-back. They played on Friday, then they played on Saturday. They don't play again until Tuesday, so they play tomorrow. Then they play Friday, so they're getting some breaks in there. Then they have a game that Sunday, that Tuesday, that Thursday, that Friday. So one back-to-back in there, and that back-to-back is after they play us. So they come to Milwaukee, they play us, and then they go back home to play the Jazz. And then they get a couple of days off there, and they don't play again until April 4th, and that's when they play the 76ers. They have a back-to-back that night. The very next day is against the Raptors. Then they play on the 7th of April against the Raptors again, and then the 9th. So comparing our schedule to Boston's, like it's a little bit more challenging, one would say. And I believe Frank mentioned it on yesterday's show, saying that the 76ers have like one of the most difficult schedules to end the season. And yeah, if looking at what we thought, and it's like, man, that's tough. Like, here's what Philly has coming up. So Wednesday they see the Bulls again. Friday they have the Warriors in San Francisco. Then they're still on the road and they play the Suns the very next night. Then they get a night off, and then Monday they play the Nuggets. they get 2 days off, and then that following Wednesday they're back home playing against the Mavericks. Another day off, next day a game, playing the Raptors. And then they get the Bucks after a day off of rest in Milwaukee. Another day off of rest, they get the Celtics. And then they get the Heat. And then the very next night, they get the Hawks. And then they get a night off and they get the Nets. It's kind of like the NBA. Like, I know how the NBA has been making a concerted effort to make sure that we can stretch out some of these games. It's not as many back-to-backs. It's not as many four and fives. But it also seems as if All-Star break is going to stay where it is and the season is going to end where it is, then maybe more games should be played on that front half so that we can avoid something like this on the back half, especially as teams are making that playoff push here, really trying their hardest to get these wins, to get playoff positioning, to get seeding, to try to get certain matchups, whatever the case may be. The Bucks have a really tough road ahead of them. 76ers too, but just focusing on the Bucks, we got to control what we can control. So, like, you think about that and it's like, okay, well, tomorrow against the Spurs, like, got to get that one. Like, we can't let that be a overlooked game, a game where we kind of come in and it's not full focus. Like, we can't afford at this point to lose games against opponents that we should be beating. So that has to be in the bag during this upcoming stretch for them. And then as they go on the road, lean on that depth. Going from Utah to Denver, like you said, is going to be a really tough swing. But hopefully Denver's resting some people, too. I believe they're also on the back-to-back when they see us. So, wait, no, they're not. So, no, it's going to be a tough game in Denver for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. And part of me wonders, you know, the Bucks have had this stretch at home. And I don't know. This is just me thinking. But we know that the Bucks do look ahead. We know that they manage their guys as well as anyone across the league, in my opinion. Anyway, they ramp up guys super, super slowly and make sure they're hopefully in the best shape when they do come back to play. We've seen Jay Crowder miss a couple of games. How sore is he actually? Or is this just some maintenance? And hey, we're going to make sure you're right because we're going to need you to play some of these games coming up here. Is Goran Dragic the same? We still haven't seen him. We're running out of time to see if he's got any juice in the tank. But part of that could be looking ahead to the schedule and saying, okay, yeah, it's 5 games in 7 nights, but we've got a game against the Pistons, who the Pistons aren't trying to win. Let's be honest. The Spurs aren't trying to win. So as you pointed to, those are the ones that I don't think against the Spurs coming off 2 nights, they'll rest anyone, but the Pistons in the middle of that stretch that they say, all right, we want all our guys to play the back-to-back in Utah and Denver, but we're going to give a few guys a night off in Detroit and back our depth to just beat a younger team in the league. Then you just can't slip up. You just got to make sure you get the job done there. So it'll be fascinating to see how it works out there. But I did see a few people point out, and people are more interested in this than me, like the MVP race, we know it's been heating up. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't help that Celtics game, the 5th game in 7 nights, 5 different cities. It's a TNT game. So everyone's going to be watching. And you know that it doesn't matter what the schedule has been in the previous. They're not going to be talking about that. If the Bucks look heavy-legged and they look like they are not at their best and Giannis is fatigued and tired, which he probably will be, they're just going to say that that hurts his MVP chances and the fans, that's going to piss them off. So I totally get the conversation, but let us know what you think about the Bucks schedule and how they should manage this next little period. I guess from someone who podcasts on a daily basis point of view, it's great stuff for me. But I also don't have to fly all around the US, but I'll have content to talk about. So again, make sure you subscribe to Locked On Bucks because there's going to be some really great podcasts coming up in the next couple of weeks as we get ready for the postseason. I want to talk about Brooke Lopez next. And just exactly what he's been doing over the course of the season and how his game has changed a little bit with the team this year. Brooke Lopez has been on an absolute tear, Camille, and I've got the numbers here from Frank. He always comes to the party even when he's not podcasting. In March so far, 22 points per game, 58% from the field, 43% from three, 77% from the free throw line, 68% true shooting. He's chucking in 7 rebounds and 3 blocks per game as well. He's just been absolutely monstrous. And as I was reading this story from The Athletic that you should go and check out that Eric Name, our friend, wrote, there's a quote here post-game from Chris Middleton, which was after this 17-point explosion that Brooke Lopez had in the win over Toronto yesterday. Chris Middleton said he was just being super aggressive. He realized that nobody could guard him out on the court. He was great knocking down threes, but the thing I think we all love is when he's driving to the basket and putting pressure on the rim. So he did not actually shoot the 3-ball well. And I think that we should just acknowledge, and I think everyone's been watching it and enjoying it, but we talk about the defensive stuff. We have some Giannis fans that get all defensive when you say that Brooke Lopez might win Defensive Player of the Year because they think it's some sort of slight on Giannis. It's ridiculous stuff. But when we talk about Brooke, it's not just about the defense. It's about the offense and the scoring and the versatility that he's provided. And in my opinion, a guy that can take over a game, particularly when Giannis is on the bench, and you can go to different sets and you can run pick and roll with Brook, who doesn't have the opportunity to do that as much when Giannis is on the floor. But he's averaging 15.6 points per game overall in the season. This is the most he's averaged since 2017. The shot profile is interesting, though, because in year one with the Bucks in 2019, he was awesome. Mm-hmm. But he averaged 6.3 three-point attempts per game and 3.4 twos. He just wasn't in the arc. He was just letting it fly. It was great. It changed the offense and the way the Bucks played, maximized Giannis. This year, the three-point attempts, so fast forward 5 years, the three-point attempts are at 4.9, so it's come down from 6.3. But the two-point attempts from 3.4 up to 6.6. This is the most twos he's taken in a game, again, all the way back to that Brooklyn season in 2017. So he's actually taking significantly more twos than he is threes this season. That is a real change about the way the Bucks are using him. And I think we can all appreciate that this helps a Bucks offense, particularly in the half court, because he has proven he can still dominate.
Absolutely. And again, it was an amazing article by Eric. Great work, which has become Status Quo Forum.
Right.
And honestly, Brook having such a diverse offensive game just opens up more possibilities for what the Bucks can do, especially I know it was laughed about where Bud was in the huddle, you know, saying play random, but knowing that Brook has all of this different skill set, and now that his teammates are aware of where to find him on some of these other looks as well, it just does so much for the offense. And thinking about Brook in itself, just when he signed here, it was, okay, that's a good pickup. And, you know, we're seeing him stretch the floor. And when he's here in his first year, it's kind of thinking like, well, you know, all this time we've been thinking that, you know, we need to put Giannis at the five to fully maximize what he can do here. But no, him next to Brook Lopez actually also works really, really well because Brook can stretch the floor for him. And he wins his first MVP that year. And, you know, we have Chris, we have Giannis, and then we get Drew Holiday. And those three names are the ones that's going to get talked about a lot, based on, you know, contracts, their role in the teams, and what we expect from them night in and night out. But as we've been saying for years, what Bucks fans had noticed is like, okay, the defense really does run through Brook Lopez. Like, part of why this Bucks scheme is so successful is because they have Brook, who is a drop god, pretty much playing back there behind him. Brook's defense allows for the guards to play more free at the point of attack because they know if they take a chance, they got Brook behind him to clean it up. Brook allows Giannis to be his best self by letting Giannis play that free safety role. So we have seen, you know, the importance of Brook defensively, and we've seen it in spurts where it's like we needed his offense to win this game, to get through in the playoffs on that finals run. We needed Brook in Atlanta a couple of times to pull that series out, especially without Giannis. So we see them last year without Brook for most of the season. We see how the defense suffers. And we have a lot of concerns because it's a, you know, 33, 34-year-old seven-footer getting back surgery. So to see him come back from that, playing the best we've seen him in a Bucks uniform, it's just outstanding. And it goes to show again what this Bucks team preaches, and that's internal improvement. Like, if we are bringing some of the same guys back, we're expecting guys to also improve their game every day, every year, see something different in them. And Brook has really taken off with that. Like, Brook is so important to this team and is beyond defense at this point because he gives them offensive options that are going to come in the clutch in the playoffs, especially with certain matchups, because there are not too many guys that can really outsize Brook Lopez. He is just a massive human being, and getting him on the roll, not just playing in the block, he's hard to stop. He's hard to stop. And again, his teammates are starting to know where to find him. The chemistry is getting so good. And Joe Ingles came in right away and developed that chemistry with Brook. So thinking about certain lineups in the playoffs where, you know, if they're staggering and it's like Brook with Joe, like, it's the possibilities are just, they're wide open. And that makes this Bucks team even more dangerous.
Yeah, it was fascinating when the Bucks signed Joe Ingles. We spoke about it. I mean, go back a couple of years ago, and he had the most efficient pick and roll partnership with Derek Favors. And then we obviously saw him have success with Rudy Gobert as well. And I remember having the conversation with Frank and saying, man, Giannis is going to love playing with Joe in pick and roll scenarios. There are going to be lobs left, right, and center. It's actually probably worked out that the chemistry has been better with Brook, which again, sometimes in those lineups, if Giannis is getting a quick breather, and that will be obviously minimized in the postseason. Mm-hmm. If you do have lineups with another scorer. Like maybe Chris is out there, but then if you have Brook and Jokin, it splits some of the ball handling with Chris. I think it helps. So I think that he's benefited there. The other thing I'll say is Brook Lopez's 3-point percentage has gone up this season to the highest it's ever been. I think part of that is he's just taking better threes as well. Earlier on in when he came to Milwaukee, they're just letting it fly. And I've said before, sometimes he's not even balanced. Now it just feels like when Brook is shooting threes, he's in rhythm, he's stepping into it, his feet are set, he's squared up, and it just looks like better shots. So I think part of the 3-point percentage stuff is shot quality as well. It certainly feels that way. There's not too many times when Brook takes a shot where I'm like, gee, I'm not sure that's the right shot. You just feel confident with him.
Absolutely. And that's something I know we have discussed on this podcast before, because there are some times where it's like you were open, like you had time to even set your feet, but for some reason you chose to take like this off balance 3-point shot. Yeah. So it is absolutely, that's a great point to bring out, just the quality of the shot selection as well from three. And I think it was also Eric who had the article about his off-season workout where he just kind of worked on this 3-point shot, the technology behind that as well. And you're seeing the dividends of that, like, the work is really paying off for Brook, and it's evident in his play.
Yep. Some people like me, when they shoot the basketball, just really hope for the best. And then there's other people like Brook Lopez that can just feel the degrees on the arc and change it up on the fly. These guys are absolutely ridiculous. Also, check out the Locked On Game to Game podcast, though. Get your news, stats, info, analysis from across the NBA on a nightly basis. Get Locked On Game to Game on your Locked On NBA feed. It's definitely worth a listen. Camille, what's going on in technical foul? What are we looking for this week?
This week's show, I'm not exactly sure what the guys' NBA one thing is going to be. Last week, I made my case for Brook Lopez as Defensive Player of the Year, and his mom liked it. So I was like, you know, I'm in here. We got Brook's mom endorsing the case for Brook Lopez for Defensive Player of the Year. So it'll definitely be some NBA, some NFL free agency talk. Aaron Rodgers is going to be part of the conversation based on his interview with Pat McAfee. So it'll be some Buck stuff in there as well. Our Lakers fans out this week, so it'll be, I think, a little bit more Wisconsin heavy this week.
And as we wrap up this podcast, I didn't bring it up, but I hope you're doing okay, Camille.
It was time. You know, it's like a relationship. Sometimes relationships, you just got to end it. I wish him the best.
Well, I was actually talking about Marquette, so it's been a rough week.
That one hurts. That one, see, I didn't want to bring that up. Like, I don't want to talk about that one. I purposely went over. I didn't even bring up March sadness. Yeah, a lot of March sadness.
Well, hopefully Wes and Jay are doing well as well. You know, it's tough times for all involved. I have no emotional attachment, Camille, but I was hoping for a run for all my friends to enjoy what comes with that. So great season. Hopefully build to bigger and better things next season. This podcast is building to bigger and better things tomorrow. Zora Stevenson's coming on. So if you've got a question, drop it in the YouTube comments and I'll try and throw at least one of those at Zora. She's just doing a little bit of everything at the moment. She's doing the sideline. She's doing the studio show. She's doing the play-by-play. She's going and doing national stuff as well. She can't be stopped. But we're fortunate enough that she's given us some time tomorrow. We haven't caught up with Zora for a little while, so we'll do that. As for me and Camille, we're done for today. So make sure you check out the podcast tomorrow, and we continue to look forward to Bucks and Spurs on Wednesday night.